Odyssey. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine.
Welcome to the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast. Well, it's finally happened, Jesse. Album 75, The Best Is Yet to Come, is complete. This is a huge album, a milestone in Odyssey history, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about.
We do. But before we get to album 75, we have some other big news. Roll the music. On August 2nd and 3rd, 2024, Adventures in Odyssey will celebrate 1,000 episodes with a live event here in Colorado Springs. Woohoo!
Yep, you're right. That is huge, and this event is going to be amazing. We'll have more details, like the pre-sale of tickets for club members, in the days ahead. For now, just circle August 2nd and 3rd on your 2024 calendar and watch the club and social media for more details coming soon.
You know, I always love these live events. It's like a month of Odyssey summer camp packed into one day.
That's a good comparison, Jesse. And speaking of packing in a lot, it's time to start talking about The Best Is Yet to Come, the four-part episode about the future of Eugene and the whole Meltzner family. If you haven't heard these shows, we need to issue a huge spoiler warning.
Over the next few podcasts, we'll leave no stone unturned, no inside unturned out, and no fine tooth uncombed.
Huh?
Well, so if you haven't heard these episodes, stop this podcast and check them out on the club, CD, and download. We have links on our website.
We'll start our deep dive into these adventures by talking with actress Katie Lee. She's been Connie on Adventures in Odyssey from the very beginning. Today, we're mainly talking about those Eugene episodes, but we'll touch on a few other topics, too.
Let's chat with Katie.
Katie, it's so good to see you. Normally we get you on the phone for podcasts, but today we've got you in the studio and it's great to be here with you.
Yeah, it's great to be here too. I wore nice clothes.
You're looking great.
Thank you. You too. I love your shirt, Jesse.
Well, thanks. Well, we're excited to talk to you because, again, you've been part of Adventures in Odyssey for 36 plus years.
Holy moly.
Right? So you've had plenty of time to get to know Connie Kendall and come up with ideas for your character, for the show in general. So can you remember a time where something that you pitched to the Odyssey team actually became an episode or a storyline that they followed?
Oh, I wish. I come up with lots and lots of ideas, and most of them do not happen. I do remember when Kimmy Robertson first came on the show, though, at Green Ring, and I was like, oh, there's so much fun to work with. She seems like a bad guy. Please, please change the script. Make her stay. I guess Paul McCusker had the same idea, so he says it wasn't my begging that got her to stay on the show, but Kimmy was very excited. She even asked Paul, she says, can Connie and Penny be roommates and then I can help her pick out her clothes?
Well, before the Odyssey team told you about our direction for The Best Is Yet to Come, mm-hmm. Of course, album 75.
We have very good directors, by the way.
We do.
We
sure do. Did you have any thoughts about the future for Eugene Meltzner?
Well, I like the idea of keeping the character alive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I did. Keeping him going if, you know, I didn't want to see something tragic happen, if possible.
Yeah.
So how did you feel about the idea of Townsend performing the voice? Because that was shocking to me. And then using that cloning software that actually ended up being very believable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. First of all, there's a few parts to my answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first one, having Townsend voice Eugene was so wonderful because knowing how long they had been friends, longer than Will and I had been friends, you know,
mm-hmm.
friends from Cleveland, they knew each other so well. And I know what a great actor Townsend is and a great mimic, you know, so I thought this is really interesting. But then when they played the cloned voice for me, we all just, I'll probably start crying now.
I'm sure.
We were like, whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we all felt that way.
You usually don't read the scripts ahead of time. You've said before, you know, Connie doesn't know.
I glance through them now.
You glance.
Oh,
you do.
Okay.
Yes, I do. I peruse them.
So you do get a sense of, even though Connie may not know where things are going, you have an idea.
Usually, most of the time, 80% of the time, I have an idea, yeah.
Why was that so important for this particular show?
So everybody was making a big deal about this script, so I knew something big was happening, so that's why I wanted to have a little inkling of what was happening, yeah. So just kind of prepare me a little bit. But I had no idea how it was going to be produced. I didn't know I was going to be acting opposite of Townsend. That kind of surprised me.
Mm.
But then when we did it, he was so good.
So yeah, take us into the studio with that, because again, you and Will were so close, and scenes of you guys were, I mean, some of the most epic and memorable in the history of Odyssey.
So I hear.
And now you're doing these interactions with Townsend, who, of course, you know so well as Jason and personally and all that kind of thing. And now he's playing this other character that's so near and dear to Connie and yourself. So what was that like?
It was like if an onion were an acting session, there are a lot of layers going on, right? Because Townsend and I are really BFFs too.
Yeah.
Chris notwithstanding, and Kimmy. But, you know, we actually go to church together. We see each other. And we know how we feel. We know how we felt about Will. We were good friends. You know, we were friends with him too. So we had this, like, you know, it was interesting. Just that feeling of knowing what we were doing was a thing.
Yeah.
And then watching and hearing Townsend perform as Eugene, because he had to, you know, have the inflection and the personality of Eugene. And he was so good. It was like an homage, I guess, right? Like like a tribute to the character. And it just felt that it was in such good hands. The whole project was in such good hands. And just thinking what we were doing was so groundbreaking.
Yeah. And honoring Will was so important to us, too. One of the reasons that we were little nervous about the technology because we'd never done it before. It was uncharted territory and we wanted to honor Will, but we didn't want to just piece together, you know, lines from other shows and have to write around that. We wanted something that was going to be honoring to the character of Eugene as well and the way that we had him have a send-off. What was the hardest part for you? Just all of it. Was there a particular scene that may have been difficult?
Well, no. No, I don't think so. I mean, all our scripts have so many ups and downs in them. Nothing is, you know, that unusual. I think it's just knowing what we were doing. That subtext was the hardest part.
What about that final scene with Whit?
Well, I kind of had a little fight with the writers about the ending. So.
Tell us about that.
Well, I was with Phil, actually, I think. Just because I like the idea of keeping Odyssey Odyssey and not having it reflect real life. And I felt like the last few lines, I know Phil was like, but, you know, we're, this is our way of saying goodbye to Will. And I guess I'd already done that. And I don't know. I just didn't want, I don't know. I mean, it was very nice. I'm sure it sounds great. I haven't heard it yet. Like I said, I haven't listened to all the parts yet. I've only heard part one. But Phil had to, you know, reassure me it's going to sound okay. I just didn't want it to sound like fourth wall breaking. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't think it does. I'll tell you what, when I read the script, I got choked up. And then we were doing playback, and I knew it was coming. And I thought, I'm going to be in a puddle. I'm going to be
there are people in puddles all over the world. And I know it just came out yesterday when we're doing this podcast now, but I've already gotten DMs from people that I did a good job and they're all crying. And so that's rewarding. That's nice. I'm glad they're all very, no one said, oh, that's terrible. They're just all really, really pleased, I think. Well, not pleased, you know, they're on board. How about that?
Under the circumstances, it was the best that we could have hoped
for. And totally moving. I mean, obviously, everybody is writing me and saying how they're crying and, you know, all these little wow emojis are coming through.
So, I mean, emotional on so many levels, right? Just the recording, then when the actual show comes out. And there are scenes where Connie gets angry in the episode. So how do you create that anger in the studio because, I mean, these are some of your lifelong friends you're acting with, but yet you have to be angry.
We're playing other characters. Mm. We're being mad in the situation. I mean, I think that's what acting is all about, right? Putting yourself, immersing yourself in the situation and understanding what the writer has, you know, the motivation there. You know, sometimes I have to ask, why am I angry? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And I have to ask the director and then they'll tell me. And when it makes sense to me, when it makes sense to you, it's easy to, you know, act that way. I have to say, I know we're talking about Eugene and all that stuff, but I think Buck and Jewel's stuff is really good in
these
episodes too.
Yep.
It's really funny to hear, you know, them. And I think it's very realistic. So it's kind of fun to have that going on as well, right? Good balance.
Since you brought up Buck and Jules, this is a question that we asked you on a podcast probably about 4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sure I'll remember it.
Well, we asked about how Connie's character has changed as a result of her relationship with Jules. And now that there have been a few more years of stories that have seen the two of you growing together, let's talk about that a little bit more. Is there something, do you think, in terms of the way that Connie has evolved directly related to Jules and perhaps even the relationship between Buck and Jules?
I think it's kind of the same thing, just more of the same, having more responsibility and learning how to kind of back off a little bit, maybe. I mean, she has to be in charge. I know Jules always talks about how Connie's going to flip her lid, and she does. But, I mean, it's parenting, right? And so, you know, parents have to find a way to express their flipping their lids without, you know, sending their kids running. So,
yeah,
I just think she's maturing a little bit more in that relationship. And then they've settled into it, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when I think about the scripts now, they're used to Jules isn't on the verge of running away. Well, of course, and she likes being with Buck, so she's not going to go anywhere. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens after this.
Yeah, right. I asked you about the scenes where Connie has to be angry. But there are other emotions, like crying. You said, these, you know, people have talked about how these episodes do make you tear up and cry. So how is performing in those moments? How do you prepare for that? I remember being at the episode you recorded when Connie's mom passed away, and that was so emotional. And this was also very emotional. Is it as hard to perform those as it sounds?
Well, if you look at my eyes right now, all I have to do is think about, I've lived long enough to lose my best friend and my mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not hard.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to prepare. It just is.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, now you know how it feels.
Yeah.
Now we're all having little wham-wham emojis on our eyes.
Katie, and this may be hard, but if you could have one more conversation with Will, what would you talk about?
I'm sorry for interrupting him so much on the Tell You Later show. Because I really want to hear everything he had to say.
When people have heard these episodes, they've talked about how it's been cathartic for them maybe to hear them. Did you share that experience? Was it cathartic in recording and listening back?
No, but I just got a message from somebody who... We met her at some event, maybe here at Focus, and she was going to school in Europe. She said a good friend of hers passed away this year, and it was very cathartic for her to have an opportunity to grieve with us in this show with, you know, continuing grieving the loss of her friend. So I think, you know, people... Grieving is healthy, so I'm not going to apologize for crying here. I think it's normal, and I think people... shouldn't feel, you know, like we just have to move on because, you know, grief comes in waves.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And actually, when I watch stuff or listen to things that we've done, it makes me laugh. It makes me happy.
Yeah.
I don't know about it being cathartic because we recorded a couple years right after he passed. So I don't know. I don't really even know what cathartic means. I'm going to have to look it up on my phone.
Well, I think one of the things I took away from it, Katie, I was just recently listening to some of the older podcasts, and you guys had recorded a podcast with us the spring before we lost him.
Mm-hmm.
And you listened to it, and there's no one had any reason to believe that our time was short. And I think that's the thing to take away. I mean, I've lost both my parents now, and in both cases, there were long goodbyes, you know. But that's not always that way, and we really can't take for granted the time that we have with people.
No, I mean, that's the biggest thing to take away from anything, is that you just don't know from one minute to the next, and we're only given one day at a time, and be thankful for what we have, make the most of it, don't. Like, I wish I could record another Tell You Later show and not interrupt him. It's not good to have regrets. It's nice to be gracious and generous. And it reminds us not to live in fear, but to live in joy.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being in the studio, being on the podcast, bringing your just perspective on it, but just bringing your person. It's just really cool.
Well, I always go with myself, so I that is inevitable. Yeah.
Now it's good to remember Will together.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
It's always so great to talk with Katie, and you can see why she's the perfect person to play Connie. Katie's just as authentic as the character she plays.
That's right. Well, you can hear Katie in all four parts of The Best Is Yet to Come, and you can hear her on this month's club adventure, The Show Must Go On, and next month's adventure, Naughty or Nice, releasing December 1st.
On future podcasts, we'll be hearing from the sound designers and the writers and directors of The Best Is Yet to Come. If you have a question for them, be sure to call us on our toll-free comment line. That number is 1-855-784-WHIT. Always make sure to have a parent's permission before you call.
That's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation of Focus on the Family.
That comment line again is 1-855-784-9448. Or if you need to talk to someone in person, the number is 1-800-A-FAMILY.
Join the club or find links to Album 75 on our website at adventuresinodyssey.com. And stay tuned for more about that live show. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Adventures in Odyssey has taken generations of children on an exciting journey, all the while sharing biblical principles and activating their imaginations. Now, in 2024, we'll be airing our 1,000th episode. To celebrate, we're inviting every member of the Odyssey family to join us for one grand party. This spectacular two-day event is packed with fun and excitement for Adventures in Odyssey fans of every age. Partygoers will enjoy an unmatched immersive experience into the town of Odyssey. Meet and greets with cast and crew, Q&A sessions, trivia contests, and more. The party is topped off with a live episode recording starring fan favorite characters. It's all happening on August 2nd and 3rd in beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado. Tickets for One Grand Party are going fast. Learn more at onegrandparty.com.